This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bills Radio Network. Sports
update. Update comes from One Bills Drive. The Bills have wrapped up their practice. They went outdoors today, this first day of the practice week. 26 degrees and cloudy here in Buffalo. It'll be 75 and sunny on Sunday in South Florida, but the Bills went outdoors today because of the surface, you would think. Buffalo trying to shore up its run defense. The first four games, Bills gave up an average of 84 yards per game on the ground. The last five, including their win against the Dolphins a month ago, they're giving up an average of 141 yards rushing per game. Veteran rest days today for linebacker Lorenzo Alexander and Ty Insecki. The referee Sunday is Scott Novak. Bills-Dolphins, you can catch the game right here on our flagship radio station in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. 1 o'clock kickoff, I'll have to call the game with Eric Wood in the radio booth, and Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines. The NFL has set the date for the Bills' Week 16 game. It's part of an NFL triple header. The Bills will play the Patriots on Saturday, December 21st. We know that now. 4:30 kickoff on Saturday. The first game that day is Houston to Tampa Bay at 1. The Bills in New England at 4:30 p.m. And then it's the Rams and San Francisco Saturday night at 8:15. The Bills will be on national TV again in the second to last week of the regular season. Jets owner Christopher Johnson talked about his team today. He says Coach Adam Gase will not be fired now or after the season. He called Adam Gase a good man and a good coach, and he likes the dynamic he has with new general manager Joe Douglas. He said that Gase is safe, and he told the team that today. NFL teams will look at Colin Kaepernick workout this Saturday in Atlanta. It's an NFL setup workout, on the field work and an interview. All teams invited to attend, and video will be made available. Giants running back Saquon Barkley still not 100%, but says he's not going anywhere. He will not be shut down, even with the Giants at 2-8. They eventually are going to have to focus on the future, but after an X-ray on his shoulder after Sunday's loss to the Jets, Barkley says he's in. And Sabres back at practice today, getting set for hosting Carolina tomorrow. Bisons have a new manager, former big league catcher Ken Huckabee, named as the 21st manager of the Bisons in their modern era.
Era.
I have trouble with that word.
Like era Parsegian? No.
No, that's era. A-R-A. This is E-R-A.
That's E-R-A.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to join us in this hour. His counterpart on the Buffalo roster, Josh Allen, met with the media moments ago after the Buffalo practice, answered a variety of questions. We're talking about Josh on this show. The media was too. Josh Allen's news conference today, and he started out talking. He was asked a question about does he have kind of a mental block about throwing the deep pass now? Is that really what's at work here? And Josh Allen answered that question saying, no, it is not.
Listen, I want to complete every ball. I know I haven't done a good job with that, and nobody in history has ever completed every ball. So it's not anything I'm worried about. Statistically, deep balls and how efficient our passing game is, looking there, makes me happier. And I have no worries about it. It's something we're working on, something that will happen over time. It's not like we're throwing a bunch of deep balls during the game. We have a couple opportunities, and obviously it'd be nice to hit those opportunities, but the more you play, the more opportunities we'll have, and we'll continue to work on them, and no doubt that'll be fixed.
I'm sorry. Is it fair, though, to say that you that this offense might need a few more chunk plays? Because just to take out the margin of error that, of 8-play, 69, 70-yard drives kind of thing, do you feel like you need to have more chunk plays in this offense?
Well, I think every offense would say that they want more chunk yards and more chunk plays, and obviously those are nice, and we've had opportunities, and I haven't done a good enough job of capitalizing on them. So, it makes things easier for sure, but it's something that you don't want to live and die just by the deep ball and live and die by the chunk play. So, we're trying to take care of business. And we're working extremely hard, myself included, and we're going to continue to grind each and every day.
Sean said that's still part of your development. It's that you're still just only in your second year. That's you've worked on your intermediate passing and short passing game. How much do you think that that's still part of your growing process?
I mean, I'm looking to improve each and every day. You know, I think if you ask any quarterback in the league, they'd say the same thing, that they don't want to become stagnant where they're at. They're always trying to look for ways to improve, and that's no different for myself. Obviously, I know there's a lot to work on, and I know I'm nowhere near where I need to be, nowhere near where I want to be, and where I want to be is probably more, is higher than where I need to be. You know, I hold myself to a very high standard, and I'm going to continue to work hard, and you know, my goal is to get where I want to be.
Josh, I thought the interesting part of your response was, you know, the threat of an interception or an underthrown ball, and where your numbers have come down, I think it's four straight for you now without a pick, right? And that's a process I know that you've gone through. Is that connected to that whole process? I mean, are you at a point now where you can just kind of, are you overthinking, or can you just react within the scheme?
No, I can definitely react, but the job of the quarterback obviously is to move the ball, put points on the board, and protect the football. And you know, at the beginning of the year, I wasn't doing a good enough job of protecting the football. And you know, I've made that very important to me, and understanding what that football is, and you know, who it represents. You know, there's still some things to clean up as far as running the ball, and you know, not fumbling, but. You know, that's what I'm very, very much so trying to improve on in that aspect. But, you know, Coach sat us all down today and said, you know, play fearless, you know. So to have that, you know, green light and that confidence from him still, like, you know, that means a lot. And not saying that I'm going to go out there and be reckless. And there's two different terms for a reason. So just being very, very aware of what's going on, but not trying to be gun shy about anything.
Like, where is that balance for you between being reckless but then also wanting to make those big plays?
Well, I still think it's been there in the last few games. I'm not just checking the ball down. You know, I'm still taking my opportunities, and we've had some success in the intermediate, you know, 10 to 15 to 20 yards. You know, our guys are doing a great job of getting open. You know, I got to find some more completions in the game, and you know, in that it's going to come, you know, more points, which everybody wants. Obviously, I think everybody in the league wants more points, but you know, we're played to win football games, no matter, you know, what the outcome is, and no matter what the score is.
Josh, earlier this season, Micah Hyde said confidence is a hell of a drug. The offense kind of sputtering the last 3 weeks. Where's the confidence level of this offense?
No, we're still very confident. I'm just going to say one thing. This is a group that really cares about each other. How we talk to each other, how we feel about each other, you know, the way that we hang with each other outside this facility. I don't know if it's the same anywhere else. You know, we do definitely have a group of guys that care about this football team and care about winning, and that's really all we care about. It doesn't matter how we get it done. You know, the linemen will tell you, obviously linemen love to run, but if we got to throw it 50 times a game, we'll throw it 50 times a game. If we got to run it 50 times a game, we'll run it 50 times a game. It doesn't matter how the job gets done. Our group is very focused on trying to get that job done, and we're, you know, preparing each and every week to try to do that.
How important is that message to coach to be fearless? Just to reinforce that, you know, that you don't have to be overly cautious in some ways. Just to get your mindset, just not maybe just you or whoever, but just to get your mindset to flip over just a little bit more.
I don't really think there's a huge change in my mindset of what's going to be. I think I've been playing, you know, very smart football the last few weeks, and I don't think that's going to change. I think I want to be smart with the football, and like I said, there's been opportunities that I haven't hit, and I got to be better on those. But you know, we're 6-3 for a reason, and protecting the football and making sure that, you know, we sustain long drives and move the chains on third down, and ultimately when we get in the red zone, we put points up on the board. That's really our focus.
Maybe you can understand our question. It's just, you know, we see you completing deep passes at training camp and things like that, and we know you're a strong arm guy, and it's just those questions that are lingering out there saying, why can't he just do it?
Mm-hmm.
Do it kind of.
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not sure if you can appreciate us asking.
No, I appreciate, you know, I definitely get the question, and trust me, I want to complete every pass I throw. But like I said, you know, we're trying to work each and every day and trying to get better. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into a certain play. You know, every play is different in its own element, and I got to be better on handling those elements.
Josh, how do you feel you improved as an anticipatory player since you got here a couple years ago?
You said, how do I feel?
How do you feel that you improved?
Yeah, I feel like I'm obviously growing in that aspect, and that's something that has been an added focus as well. Having a guy like Matt Barkley and just kind of seeing how he delivers the ball, you know, I made it apparent to myself this offseason, just kind of sitting down and trying to find ways to get the ball out quicker. And it's still something, it's just more reps. The more reps you get on doing it and seeing the ball leave your hand before your receiver turns, and seeing more completions in practice and in, like I said, training camp, and even going back to OTAs, the more you can do that, the better you feel and the more confident you get.
How difficult is that to train the guy from where maybe earlier in life you're seeing the guy open and then you throw it as opposed to?
Yeah, and then, you know, that's, you know, that's where when I was a younger quarterback, you know, especially at Wyoming, having the arm, the strength to be able to wait an extra second and see the guy open and still be able to get the ball there. Obviously, NFL is a little tighter space, having things happen a little quicker. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's been hard, but it's definitely been an adjustment that I've been learning from, and I'm going to continue to grow there.
Is it one of the tougher tendencies to break?
Probably, yeah.
Josh, how much have you guys worked on the clock management issue, you know, going back to the final five there for a second or third down? Monday, I think the coach expressed the fact that he was going to address the operation with the term. You guys worked on that, and what's your take on it?
Yeah, we work on it every day. We have a two-minute drill that we work on. Honestly, you'd love to be perfect in those situations, especially when it comes to game time, but I feel confident in how we address things, how we go about things, especially in the two-minute. You know, I don't know if we could have done anything different in that game. Actually, maybe getting out of bounds, but you can't spike it there, you know. You got to find a good play. You don't want to waste your time out just because you want to hold it there for your kick. So, like I said, I don't think anything would have been different there.
You mentioned the success of the short to intermediate stuff, the development of that part of your game. How much has Ken Dorsey played with it?
He's played a big part. You know, obviously having that experience of playing in the NFL, you know, he's been a huge help, and just as far as trying to understand what defense is doing and the concepts that he kind of brings up. The tape, the film that he shows us, like it's very, very cool with how much pride he takes in his work, and I really appreciate what he does.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen, there's a lot to like about Josh Allen, including the way he handled that today, Steven. Look, he is the focus of attention. He knows that. We know that. He's the focus of our show today. And he answered all those questions straight up in a straightforward manner. There's no defensiveness. There's no why are you asking me that type thing. And the one thing that really got me, and I wrote it down, when he said coach sat us down today, their first day back at work, and said, play fearless. I think that there's a message there, I think, and it goes back to our discussion about Josh and the way he's played and maybe backing off or overthrowing the deep passes because he's afraid of leaving them short for picks. Coach sat him down, the entire team, today and said, play fearless. I really think there's something there. What do you think?
Yeah, and it's a little inspiring to hear it, too.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we've had people on and off with every question we ask about Josh Allen, his development, all that. There's always this group of people that say, you know, they're stifling him. They're sitting on him. And the conversation today about him saying, well, maybe I was worried about throwing an interception,
right.
Didn't want to do it. To have the coach come in and say, hey, let's just go. Let's play fearless. And it's a great mindset to be in as well because you get the most out of yourself at that. Now, certainly on the other side of it's the risk of turnovers or penalties or whatever, you know, giving up big plays if you're going for the interception kind of thing. But you know what? You still want your guys to go out there and play like they with some confidence and fearless and knowing that they're going to win. Because it also, behind that, is when you have the most fun, you know, and you play your best when you play like that. I think it's a great mindset to instill in the team, and I think it's a sign, too, that the coaching staff sees some of the things that we talk about the same way we do and some of our fans do.
I love that. I'm really glad Jess said that. But you get my point beyond that. Just his whole demeanor today was like, it's another day. We're working on stuff.
It doesn't seem too big for him.
Right. Exactly, you know? Yeah.
He said, I'm working on it. He goes, I got a lot of stuff to work on. And the acknowledgement of that and the genuine nature, you can get the feeling, too, that he's telling you the truth. You know what I mean? Doesn't seem like lip service. It doesn't seem like when Aaron Rodgers says stuff like that, I think he's talking about the other guys, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
Like he's trying to help the other guys get better. You know, when Josh says it, you really think like he's talking about himself.
Yeah.
I got to get better, you know? I agree with you. He seems honest, not too big for him. He's getting better. He knows he's got work to do, and he's working on it all the time. You can see the work he's already done that has gotten him better. I still, even at this point, am really – really happy about the continuity he's had at this point in his career.
Yeah.
And I know though every week when they lose a game, there's, you know, the offensive coordinator, the play caller, the head coach, everybody gets thrown under the bus and they need to make – I still feel really good about where the coaching staff is and how they're handling Josh and his development.
I agree. I love the way he handled that today. We hear from the one quarterback up here in Buffalo. We're hearing from the other quarterback right now. Dolphins quarterback, veteran quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 15-year veteran. Played here with the Bills 2009 through 2013. We got Ryan Fitzpatrick on the line with us right now. Hello, Fitz. John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thanks for carving out some time out of a busy day to be with us here today. We appreciate it.
No problem. Murph, I'm the other quarterback now. That's what you know. That's
the other guy.
The other
You're just
guy.
Just another guy.
Yeah. And you've give us a little sense of how it's got. Last couple of weeks, you guys have eked out the victory. You started playing a lot better when you showed up here in Buffalo. You played a really good game. You had Pittsburgh on the ropes early in that game. You've really put it together in this last month.
Yeah, you could definitely feel the momentum shifting a little bit, the mood shifting in the building. And I think, you know, we've strung together some really good weeks of practice, and that's where it all started. And, you know, with the first game against Buffalo, I think we gained some confidence in that game, even though we came out with a loss. And then same thing, being able to get on Pittsburgh early, I think we were slowly figuring out that we could be a good football team. So it was nice to see some results the last few weeks and winning in different ways. But we're practicing with good energy. We've got good energy in the building right now, and, you know, hopefully that continues. And that's, you know, that's how we're digging ourselves out of the hole.
Fitz, did you take it upon yourself to change that energy when you got back in the starting lineup? Did you see that as your job?
Well, I did. I, you know, I was upset, down, you know, whatever the right word is, when I got taken out of the lineup and, you know, didn't play well in the first couple games, so completely understood. But in getting that opportunity, you know, got thrown into the fourth quarter of the Redskins game and tried to provide a little bit of a spark. And then in having Coach Flo kind of entrust me with the key, so to say, and put me back in the lineup, that said a lot to me and meant a lot to me. And I knew this second time around, more so than, you know, execution and X's and O's and all that stuff, it was morale, it was energy, it was walking in the door with a smile, and those things have carried over, you know, day to day, and they definitely carry over to Sunday with guys playing for each other and with each other a little bit more, and that's been the real driving force of this turnaround.
Were you going to get a second chance to play the Buffalo Bills defense? Can you characterize it? And certainly you've seen it on film already, and from your film study the first go around of just a month ago. Characterize this defense that you're going to face this weekend.
Well, it's a really good defense, and I think, you know, numbers-wise, that matches up the last few years and what they've been able to do. But they've, you know, it's a very smart scheme, and they've got really good players. So it'll be a tough matchup for us. You know, every week we go in, we want to be able to run the football. We want to be able to take advantage of our one-on-one matchups and, you know, get the ball to our guys. But the Bills have done a great job all year long of being a tough, stout defense. You know, they've got plenty of playmakers, guys that they seem to be making the right play at the right time in those big moments. And, you know, we have our work cut out for us. And we knew that going into the first game. You know, and it was tough sledding for us. We won some, they won some, but we've got to come out and play a little bit better this time around.
Ryan, when you came up here a month ago and we had the soundbite, you were talking to media in Miami about the atmosphere here in Buffalo. I just want to play this for you and get you maybe amplified a little bit. Your thoughts on the atmosphere here at a home game in Buffalo. Let's hear what you said last month.
It's easy for me to pick out my old neighbors when they wear my jersey, you know, because that's – it's either family or old neighbors or something, but it is fun. You know, it is fun to go and play in a game like this that is going to be in a great environment. You know, this one is unique in that you know, you have all these new stadiums that are enormous, and it's almost like the game is secondary to some of the other stuff going on. But in Buffalo, like, it is all about the game. It is, you know, the fans are so into it, and after the tailgating, of course, but that you just, as an opponent, you enjoy going in there and getting that feeling as well.
Right. At the time when we had that sound bite a month ago, I blurted out here on the show, he gets us. You do get it up here, don't you? You understand what it's like up here, don't you?
I get it, you know, and it's there are just very few places where, you know, during the football season, your mood every single day is all based on what happened last Sunday, and that's what Buffalo is, and such a special place to play. And I think when you are a player there, you really do appreciate the fans and, you know, how much they're into it. And I'm glad that we got the game here this weekend. I don't know what's going on there with snow and everything else, but I had to wear a sweatshirt in today. I think it was 69, 70 on the way in. And
perfect.
Yeah, I broke a sweat at about 85 at practice today, but I don't know how cold you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's great here. Very sunny, very calm, and I think 20 degrees, so we're gold.
Perfect.
Yeah, I got to ask you, too, at this point in your career, you've played for eight teams. You probably ran the gamut of wardrobe accessories during all parts of the season, whether cold in the early part of the season or warm in the late part of the season and vice versa. And I want to ask you this about you've played for, excluding Brian Flores, your present day head coach, give us some ideas about some of the more interesting head coaches you've played for. What have been some of the things that have impressed you, or maybe some of the most memorable moments of all the head coaches you've had in your career? And I want to exclude, obviously, Brian Flores, this year's coach.
Yeah, thanks for taking me off the hook on that one. you know, Mike Martz, my first coach, who ended up getting sick during my rookie year and having to take a leave, that was an interesting one because his favorite thing to do would be to mumble the play call to me for me to not be able to call it in the huddle and for him to kick me out of the huddle and talk about, you know, you're a Harvard guy. I thought you were smart. You can't even call a dang play. Like, you know, it was after the last few years in college of being the guy and not necessarily being coddled, but not getting yelled at. I got to the NFL and that changed quickly. So that was a good eye-opening experience for me. Just in terms of when I was in Buffalo, Dick Duron, one of the nicest genuine human beings on earth, you know, and then Perry Fuel taking over for him and then Chan coming in. I had plenty of great moments with Chan. I played for him for 5 years, three in Buffalo and two in New York. But I've had a lot of head coaches over the years and a lot of great stories, a lot of them that maybe I'll share when I get to be invited to their roast. But, you know, nothing for the Murph show.
Right. As you come in here this week, or as you host the Buffalo Bills this next week, you've got a chance to see Tre'Davious White in his last 3 years. And this year, he seems to have taken maybe a step forward. He was really good as soon as he lined up his rookie year. But this year, he seems really, really to be having a great year. He had a great year game last week in a loss against Cleveland. What are your thoughts about Tre'Davious White and what he's shown as a cornerback right now in his career?
Yeah, he's done a great job, and you know, I learned that the hard way, obviously, in the first game with the interception that he had off of me. But tremendous player. I think he plays with a lot of confidence, and especially at that cornerback position, that's maybe the most important thing that you have to have is be confident in who you are and your ability to cover guys. It looks like, you know, he wants to be on the best receiver, and he's played really well all year long. It'll be a huge challenge for us. You know, but one that we're always looking forward to. I think as, you know, as players and competitors, you want to go against the best, and he certainly is inching into that category.
Last one we have for you here, Ryan, and it's kind of a career question. I don't know how much longer you're going to play. I hope you play as long as you want. But I would submit that already you – look, are you going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame? I don't know. But you have career accomplishments. I mean, eight different teams, touchdown passes for all of them. You're a couple of passes away from 200 career touchdown passes. You got skins on the wall. I mean, have you ever thought about that? What, you have a place in NFL history is what I'm trying to say, regardless of how much longer you play or where you wind up Hall of Fame-wise.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I don't think I'm going to the Hall of Fame. Thanks for saying maybe, Murph.
Okay.
yeah, it does. You know what, though? I hear that a lot.
I've had it's been an unbelievable 15 years, and, you know, more so than, you know, the numbers and the yards and the teams and whatever, you know, weird record I set every week for, you know, touchdowns for eight teams, interceptions for eight teams, rushing touchdowns, getting sacked, you know, pass interference penalty or roughing the passer penalties, whatever it is. There's a bunch of weird ones out there, but I truly, you know, have pride myself and always will remember just the guys that I got a chance to play with and share the locker room with. And, you know, I know you guys get to work closely with Eric Wood and, you know, guys like that, and just being able to continue to play and, you know, continue to make those type of relationships and make, you know, guys like Fred Jackson and Stevie Johnson and Scott Chandler and whoever, you know, the guys in Buffalo that aren't really playing anymore, you know, giving them a little badge of honor, being able to watch me out there somehow still running around and banging my head. That's fun for me.
It's been fun watching you and knowing you. We'll see you down there Sunday. Thank you, Ryan.
All right, thank you.
All right, Ryan Fitzpatrick, former Bills quarterback and 15 years in the NFL. He will be the starter for the Dolphins on Sunday. I was trying to be polite. I don't think he's going to the Hall of Fame, but he's got stuff in his career that he downplayed it and said it's stupid records that I've said. I don't know if it's stupid to throw touchdown passes for eight different teams. That's an accomplishment. He's two away from 200 career touchdown passes as a seventh round pick. I mean, I don't think that's a stupid record. I think that's meaningful stuff that he has done. I just want to make that point.
He's had an extremely productive NFL career. He has helped clubs through tough times, like he's helping the Dolphins through this tough time for them. He has been the ultimate teammate, an ultimate professional. There's a lot of reasons for people to cheer for guys like that, and it's nice to run across a guy who plays that position that has been kind of – even as a starting quarterback of the NFL, he still has that underdog kind of persona mm-hmm. about him, a guy who's overachieved. And I think we can all kind of relate to how fun it is to be around people like that, guys who have some success that are unexpectedly doing so. And it's you know, it's easy to feel good about him as a guy who's done that.
And I think it is telling and reflects positively on his career and on his character. When he said, yeah, when I got my second, you know, he started the first couple games, lost his job, Josh Rosen played, he came back in for the Buffalo game, he's in the lineup now, probably for the rest of the season. But he said when he came back, he realized, I have to take it upon myself to change the morale around here. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, I'm coming back into play, I hope everybody's ready. No, it was like, okay, now I get a second chance to be the starter. Now it's up to me to change the vibe. And he did. They've won a couple in a row here.
Yeah, he's doing what he can to help other guys be better. And that's part of what building a culture is all about. That's part of what being a leader is all about. Fitz is one of those guys. It says, you know, he's not saying, "Listen, you guys, I'm going to be a leader. Let's go, follow me." You know, he's not like that. What Fitz does is say, "Hey, come on, guys, let's do this together." Yeah. And that's easy to get behind. That's easy to get in line with. And he's got a lot of great leadership qualities, and a lot of them were on display in the interview. We just did.
Great to talk to him.
Yeah.
We thank him for doing it. We thank the Dolphins Media Relations Department for making him available. And we thank you for tuning in. But we got 30 more minutes to go. Come on back. It is One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, coming in from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. Bills practice today has concluded about 45 minutes ago, and we should get an injury update. No one was injured going in. I don't know if anybody got hurt in practice. We'll see. The injury updates will come up a little bit later. The Bills gave Lorenzo Alexander and Ty Nsekhe a rest day. John Murphy, receive Tasker. We're feeling fine here for the next half hour to talk more about the Bills and the Dolphins coming up on Sunday. Tomorrow's show, we have Thurman Thomas joining us in studio. Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald will join us. Love to talk to him about the Dolphins. He wrote a piece, Steve, I read last night about and I kind of asked this question to Field Yates, kind of a two-tiered thing going on with the Dolphins now, where the top level is like all committed to the tank, and the football level, Brian Flores, Ryan Fitzpatrick, don't want to hear about it. The rest of the players, they've won two in a row. It's an interesting piece. That's coming up on tomorrow's show. Our topic of the day, Josh Allen, where do you see his progression? He's had 20 NFL starts. He will start Sunday against Miami. A lot of discussion about Josh, where he's at, where his game's at. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We have more tweets to read, but let's take a call from Batavia. Jeremy in Batavia on the line with us. Hello, Jimmy, I'm sorry, in Batavia. Go ahead, Jimmy. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I guess my question would be for you guys, do you think the criticism on Josh would be as high if they weren't as successful early on as they have been? Say their record's 4-5. Do you think the fan base and everything's putting so much pressure on Josh to be, you know, this Patrick Mahomes type? Not everyone's going to come to the league and dominate like Patrick Mahomes is. You know, me personally, I believe in the guy. I think he's a good quarterback, and I think he's growing. And, you know, I didn't expect him to come out and just dominate the way the fan base seems to be doing that. And, you know, it's a good thing to have a team that's 6-3, but it seems like, you know, they're putting all this pressure on the kid to perform now, and he's had 20 starts.
There's a little bit, I think, to answer your question, if they were 4-5 or something like that, yeah, there would be a bigger sense of urgency, no question, for Josh to get better a little bit faster, no question. Because like we said, whenever a team does good or bad or loses a close one or wins a close one, the quarterback gets a lot of the credit when they win those because he can affect the game the most, and he gets a lot of the blame because for the same reason. So yeah, I think if the club was not having as much success as they are now, if they were 3-6 instead of 6-3, there would be a huge amount of pressure. In fact, you'd have people calling for Josh Allen to be benched if they were 3-6, trying to save the season, because that's just the way people are. But I'm with you. I think he's got a lot of promise. I think he's on. I'm okay. We all want him to be faster, getting better faster. But I'm okay with the way he's playing right now because this team is built to help him do that. And they're winning games at the same time.
I think Jimmy makes a good point, though. The fast start to the season for the Bills, right, raised expectation levels, put the Bills squarely in the playoff race where they remain now at 6-3. And I think much more – I think, Jimmy, you're still on the line. You can – no, he's not. But I think much more was expected from Josh. Like, whoa – we could have a playoff team here. We need the quarterback to come along with us, right? Don't you think that?
Oh, you think so? Since the season started, yes. Expectations were raised.
Yeah, I think
on
that
Josh
was Jimmy's point.
Bit,
yeah. Like they started out so well, and it was driven by the defense and some timely comebacks and some big plays. And Josh played a role in it, but driven by the defense primarily. People look at the record. I mean, they were 6-1, right? And people say, "Ooh, were they 6-1? No, 5-1.
5-1.
And people say, whoa, this is a good team. I hope the quarterback's up to the task. I think that may account, I think this is Jimmy's point, not for all of it, but some of the focus being on Josh Allen. Because let's face it, he's been analyzed like, well, playoff teams don't do this, and playoff teams do this, and those aren't numbers that a playoff team would have. You know, if the Bills were 4-5, nobody would have that would he be in trouble? I don't know, but that conversation wouldn't be part of it.
I think it's a lot of it too is because of the way the team looks when they play. The offense is the one thing that keeps this team from being, you know, what, 7-1, 7-2, that kind of thing. The offense is the one thing that keeps is the issue. You know, they don't score enough points, so I think that is more than anything why, you know, everybody's focused on Josh. The defense is kind of a, for lack of a better word to put it, the defense is kind of a given that it's going to play well. And it doesn't seem like this team needs all that much more from the offense. And the thought is, okay, so where is it? You know, let's see it. Let's go. All you need to do is just a few more things and you'll be a solid team every week and you won't be in these three-point games that you're struggling to win.
What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. We've got time to read some off of the tweet sheet. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Where do you see Josh Allen's progression after 20 NFL starts? Get us going there, Steve. From Rick, I think, is the next
Yeah,
one.
Rick is the next one. Mr. Allen's progress.
Mr. Allen.
Yeah, Mr. Allen. Mr. Josh Allen's progress as an NFL quarterback and team leader is demonstrated every game. His work ethic, coupled with good coaching and instruction, show he's learning how to win. His teammates believe in him, and that's good enough for me. We haven't seen the best from him yet, but we will. Well, that's pretty optimistic and supportive, no question. And there's a couple of people on the tweet sheet that have alluded to they think he's getting coached pretty well. And at 6-3, it's pretty easy to fall in line with that. But there's obviously, when you lose a game by 3 points, everybody has issue with everything, let alone the coaches.
Tweet from Max. He says he has definitely progressed, mostly slow and steady. Max goes on to say, I'm hoping for an incremental uptick some point soon. I'd like that I get it moment when things come together. Confidence rises and the results show. I really want this guy to be the answer as our franchise quarterback. I think most of us do. I think many of us, and I put myself in this camp, see the raw material for a franchise quarterback. Not a finished product, anywhere near a finished product yet. But approach to the game, competitiveness, size, athleticism, arm strength. There is the stuff is there to be a franchise quarterback, and he's got a little ways to go to lock down that title, I think.
Last year, when he first started playing in these games on a regular basis and starting games for him, we saw it every week. Something was different for him. You know, it was easy to see the progression. One week he'd take a big hit. The next week he'd run out of bounds or he'd slide. Next week he would take a sack when he shouldn't have taken a sack. And the next week he would throw it away. So we saw these incremental things where he got better. I think at this point in his development, and we've been saying this for a few weeks now, it seems like he's plateaued a little bit, or at least the improvement that he's making, some of which we've talked about, hasn't been readily available to, and if unless you're just really looking close. I still think there are a lot of things he's getting better at. Mm-hmm. In fact, I saw signs of it this last week in some pre-snap stuff that I saw, and some of the rhetoric coming out from the team after the game was over about what Josh was doing and what he was responsible for and how he handled it. It's pretty encouraging that he is getting better pre-snap. So there's a lot of this stuff now, I think, where it looks as though he's plateaued a little bit in his development, especially after you lose a three-point game. It makes all the difference in the world that he's plateaued. And we're still waiting for him to bust loose and go to another level. But I think we all believe he should have another level to get to, at least, and you know, elevated in his play, and we're waiting to see that. And I think a lot of people are confident that he's going to get there. Some people would like to see it before they believe it, and some people don't believe he'll ever get there.
Right.
I mean, we've heard from them as well.
Let's take one more call here, I think, from Connor in Buffalo. Go ahead, Connor. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
A couple things. Just kind of piggybacking what we've been talking about all week is, you know, execution. There's a lot of things that haven't gone Josh's way. And Josh Allen lost us the game? No. Has he won us games? He's definitely put us in position to do that. You know, the one thing comes to mind that really sticks out from Sunday is the cross pass, slant pass to Andre Roberts. Allen puts it right on the money, and Andre was kind of catching him with his forearms.
He hesitated for a minute, right? Andre did.
He hesitated. You got to bring those hands in, and now he's off to the races, as the previous caller said, and we'll see those yards after the catch. We'll see the 300-yard game. I mean, if we're not having those drops, and you're going to have drops every game, but you're going to see that he's on the cusp of doing everything that the Bills fans want to see. And are, you know, I think we put him in a certain class to consider him the guy. I think Josh is the guy. I think he has the mental toughness to be the guy. He hangs in there with the best of them. He just needs to put the pieces together. And I think, you know, Bills fans have a lot to be excited about. So,
And maybe, Connor, you know, I hear you, and I agree with you for the most part. And maybe it's this week. It's a 29th-ranked defense down there in Miami. They gave up 59 points to Baltimore. They gave up 43 to New England, 31 to Dallas, 30 to the Chargers. They gave up 31 to Buffalo here a month ago. Maybe it's this week, Steve. I mean,
it might be. And that's kind of – I think while that's possible that – and I call it lightning in a bottle, where the Bills might bust out for one of these weeks. I don't think they're going to all of a sudden bust out, score 30 points a game, and stay there for Josh Allen, the entirety of Josh Allen's career. I think it's a week-to-week league. It's going to go up and down. But what I do want to see is more and more and more consistency. He threw for a career-high yardage this last week on 41 attempts. He still didn't complete enough of them, a high enough percentage of them. But I'm with you. There's a lot there to be to be thinking, like, this future's going to get here pretty quick, and it's going to be pretty bright. I'm still in that camp with Josh Allen. I think it's there are better days ahead, and they're winning games while those days are coming.
We'll take a break. It is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close. What We Learned is presented by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Good show today. I'm telling you, it's an award winner. Ryan Field Yates joined us today on the show from NFL Insider from ESPN. And he talked to us about Dolphins quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick and sort of his place in NFL history. Here's Field Yates.
He's going to be like the last baseball pitcher who also bat or something like that,
yeah.
Like, or a super utility player in baseball, someone who just continually found value, provided value to his roster. Never the star, never the guy that you built the franchise around, but a player who always was good enough to help you out in a pinch. And don't you think that he reminds me of Favre in his pure enjoyment of football? Fitz seems to have a blast every time he is out there. Sometimes people might perceive it as carefree. I look at it as passionate. And the guy is, I really think he's a warrior. I think he's incredibly tough. I think his teammates respect the heck out of him. I've really enjoyed the various chapters of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Good to have Field Yates with us. Steve, that was a heck of a show, and I want you to be proud of that show. I don't want to hear any self-deprecation about your role in this show or anything else that sounds
I
like
I will
that.
Not self-deprecate this show.
We got another one tomorrow. Hope we can be half as good as we were today. Is that bad? Is that bad to say that? No, it was a good show today. We thank everybody
good.
On
a lot
the show.
Of fun today.
Including our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, and our producer, Jay Harris. Back tomorrow with more on the Bills and the Dolphins. We start at 12 noon. Be here with us. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studios at One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.